And it was there at the elementary school where Catherine Curry burned to death. Would you guys didn't know that?
Mm-hmm.
As those two grounds extended down toward Forest Hill again, so a good little distance down the road, and it would go up in church. And in the spring, the teacher would allow one of the bigger boys. At that time, boys went to elementary school when they were in long pants, grown men. And Russell Wheeler was allowed to stay out that day and watch the fire and burn that church off. So at the morning recess, of course, that was a big attraction. Everybody got out of school, they rushed down to where the fire was burning. And somehow or other, Catherine Curry, she was a neighbor of ours, had just moved in, and we walked to school together. She was 9 and I was 11. And that morning when she stopped at our house, she made us just combing our hair, and she waited a few minutes telling us all these wonderful parties she was going to have for Easter. Well, we went on to school. She went down where the fire was, and somehow or other caught her dress tail in the back in the fire. And she panicked, and she ran. And the boys, or anybody, could catch her round and round that school. Finally, the teacher was doing good things. And she finally got up to close enough to her and grabbed at her, but she didn't catch her, and she knocked her down in the brush pile there by the coal hole. And she rolled over the brush pile and got up on the other side and set the brush pile aside and kept on going. And Agnes Arthur and I were kept in that day because we didn't have our arithmetic finished. And there was somebody screaming, Anna ran in to get the bucket of water. I don't know how she was going to use it, but we looked out the window and here was Catherine running with the blaze curled up the back of her dress. Mm-hmm. She got out into the road and she started down the road, and a man, I don't know who, was coming up the road with a 2-horse wagon. And he saw the situation. He had his coat laying on the seat. And he jumped out and held the coat like he would for a bull in the ring, mm-hmm. and she ran into it, and that smothered her out. And they carried her over on the bank beside the road and laid her down. And her mother was a little over 2 miles away, because they were a little bit beyond our house, yeah. They had to send someone for her, no telephone. She had to get the horse to a little milk wagon and come up and got her in this little wagon and took her to Forest Hill Station and waited for the train to get her to the hospital. And about the time she got there, she died. But it really shook us. And for those afterwards, things, I can remember things like that and what happened yesterday. She had a navy blue dress on with white polka dots in it. And for days afterwards, we could find little pieces of that dress laying around over the schoolyard where she had run.
Mm.
And the teacher would never come back. She wouldn't come back to that school again. It wasn't her fault, of course, but she felt bad about it. And I still think of it around Easter time because she was so elated that day about what they were going to do for Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of asking the story about Easter.
Mm-hmm.
They train children nowadays to, if you touch a fire, lay down and roll.
Mm-hmm.
But she just ran, and the more she ran, the more it blazed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there until through the eighth grade. They were given eighth grade in the elementary school then because I was determined I wasn't going to high school. By being such a homebody all the time, that seemed like poor out of its range to go to jail. And my father said, go for 2 weeks, and if you don't like it, you can quit. Well, by the end of the 2 weeks, everything was fine. I didn't want to stop. I guess you knew that. So then I had to take the eighth grade over again because it was so different from the elementary eighth grade. And then graduated in 21. I was going to Georgeville, we also walked. And that was about 4 miles.
4 miles.
And one of the teachers got the bad idea that anyone that was late in the morning must make up that time as before. We weren't dismissed until 4 o'clock. Several evenings, Mother would come to meet us with a lantern. It was pitch dark when we got home. That was we would go up the North Road to 165 and up that way. Now, 1 year out of the 4, I rode with Marion Phillips. She was lucky. She had a horse to drive to school. And she would drive the horse up and unhook it and put it in Martin Coates' stable there. And I would give her the corn each day for the horse's lunch. And she took me to school 1 year out of the 4. So we're having our 60th high school anniversary this summer. When you look back 60 years, it doesn't look far. When you look ahead 60, it seems like it's out of reach.
What was Georgeville school like? Was it?
We were in the old building, which later became ahead of the Georgeville Building and Learning Center. Brian Sinclair. Rayla became his house. And we moved then up to what is now the Georgeville Elementary. That was the new high school. But we graduated. We were the last class to graduate out of old school. We had a class. Mr. Fuller had his class in the basement. And then the rich class is on the first floor and the second floor. And Margaret Ford, whom you probably know, she was my English teacher in Georgeville High School. And she's just as fly as ever. And in fact, they look much different from what she did then. Then, just after they moved out of the old school, it burned down. Later, when I went to work at Martin's during the Second War, they had to have a birth certificate. And when I was born, you didn't have to record a birth. You could if the doctor just thought about it, but you didn't have to. So they would accept a baptism certificate or a school record or some similar proof of American nationality. Well, I was baptized at William Waters, and in the meantime, there had been a fire in that storage room, and that particular book was burned. The Georgeville school had burned down, and the school records were gone. So we began to wonder if I really was born. But they agreed. I took Mother and Dad down to the Bureau of Vital Statistics to give affidavit. They were both living. That wasn't enough. But I was to get affidavit from 5 people who knew me in infancy. So then I got a birth certificate. And they agreed that I wasn't a traitor.
Well, now when you got out in 1921, you went and began teaching?
Yes. I fibbed a little. I was only 17. I was supposed to be 18, but I would have been 18 within the year. And I went to summer school at John Hopkins, and that's all you had to do then. I never did get to any further in college.
Mm-hmm.
And went over near Taylor, over near the Hunt Club, and taught for 2 years, and then got married. And I never did go back to teaching. I had thought I might go back later, but things have changed, so I wouldn't undertake teaching now for any amount of money. No way.
Did you enjoy being a school teacher?
Yes, I enjoyed it then very well. I was also in a one-room school where we had the full 8th grade. And some classes would have maybe only 2 in it. Some would have 4 or 5. But we had the full 8 classes. Plus the fact I boarded about a mile from the school then and walked back and forth. We had to make our own fire, carry our own wood. Of course, the boys would carry the wood. They tried to be helpful, but sometimes it was more of a hindrance than a help. And had to sweep the floor and had to clean the windows. There was no janitor. That sums it all up in a nutshell. Whatever had to be done, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And there, too, they carried water. Even that late, carried water in a bucket. The school is now turned into a dwelling, too. And it was close to Bonfort Farm over in the Hunt Club area. So they let us carry water there. Very unsanitary, we all made it.
Well, now, let's see, how did you meet your husband?
Well, when I was teaching, I was teaching, he was working on the road where I traveled from home to school. And then we had, we formally met at a box station. And then I just quit teaching, got married.
Well, what's the box station?
Well, that was quite an event then. The ladies all each packed a box of lunch. And you took it to the school, or wherever it used to be, and you put your name in it. And the gentlemen bid on the boxes. They were auctioned. And when they bought the box, they shared it with the lady whose name was inside. And that was quite the thing then, was box station. Then you could square dance or whatever you wanted to afterwards. Make some money for the school and make some new friends too.
So then after you got married, then where did you live?
We lived with his parents for the first year and then rented a house over near Taylor on Mr. Wynn's place. I don't know if you remember Mr. Wynn. He's a member of the Hunt Club over there. And the first 2 or 3 years we moved and finally ended up back on North Road again. And that's where the first son was born. He was 57 this April. And finally we came back and bought a house near Ebenezer's Church. You know where that is? It's on the Rutledge, just above Rutledge, between there and Madonna. Was sold at the courthouse door for taxes. It had 8 acres with it, and we paid $1,660. We lived there 17 years. In the meantime, we added a new kitchen to it, put shingles on the siding, and did several things to it. And we sold it for $3,500. Big price then. We returned to George to Forestville. And we've been back and forth from Forestville to Georgeville several times since then.
Mm-hmm.
Never got there far away. The first house we bought in Forestville was on the Rocks Road, where the Elizabeth Hicks's parents were. Their name was Black. I forget his first name. Anyway, he had shot his wife and himself while Elizabeth was at church one time. And there was carriages there, and a nice big house, two-story house, and a garage and stable. And nobody would buy it because of the history. So we bought the whole thing for $5,000. And I think of those prices, it makes you sick. And we lived there for a good while. And then we went back to Georgeville, bought a house up there. And at that time, well, I worked around all over. I was in the school cafeteria when Bellary High School first opened, and in several others. As they would open a new cafeteria, they would send me there to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, at Martin, for 2 years. And then while I was in Georgeville, while we lived in Georgeville, I was working, and my husband working, and they told him just a little too much time to play around. So he decided he was none of them balling. So since then, say 55, I've been paddling my own canoe. We have 4 children. You probably know Jim in the sheriff's office. He's been there for a good many years. He's the youngest son.
Uh-huh.
I have one daughter, Mirabelle Hicks. And one son, the second son, died 5 years ago with a heart attack. But I've been down here now for 16 years.
What about the Cook County reunion?
Oh, that was the highlight of summer. That was organized. It began in 1888. There was at that time 8 Methodist churches on the one circuit, and they would all meet there. They would all meet there on the first Thursday in August. And each Sunday school would wear a different colored bow. They'd congregate down at the church. We had a band, and we'd march up through the grove to a tabernacle up there for a revival service. A few years after that, the 8 were divided into 2 circuits of 4 each. Later, that 4 was divided into 2 more. And at present, Center and William Waters are still under the same ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest have all gone their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taken on, and Dad drove the 2 horses to a carriage. We tied the horses under the tree, and we spread the cloth. We had picnic lunch.
Mm-hmm.
There was people with these souvenirs and such, and ice cream cones, and quite a crowd there. It was equal to a fair. Later, people got scattered farther away, and it died down. But it's been revived a few years ago, but it's on a much smaller scale. They meet, we do have, now they call it a potluck style. They put everything together, a lunch rather, put everything together on the table, and we do have parish ministers, visiting ministers come back. It's a reunion, really, but it doesn't compare with the crowds that we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in effect way back when the first automobile came to the reunion. And it just disrupted the services up in the tent and everything. And they made them move it down the road to a farm. I don't know who owns the farm now. It was Barton there then. And that a crowd just swept down the road behind it and tore up everything for a while. That was quite a excitement, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know which year that was, but it was back a good many years, you can imagine.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
First time I did.
Was I felt pretty unto themselves, or did they have a lot of outside influence?
Well, transportation was so scarce that you didn't get back and forth that far.
Hmm.
So Jarrettsville had their own interests and Forest Hill had their interests.
Mm-hmm.
And until automobiles were more prevalent, they just didn't get together.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I know my father belonged to an Odd Fellows Lodge and up across road. And he and a neighbor would drive the horse and buggy. And that was no little jaunt to come home from there after a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So there just wasn't much congregating anywhere.
Hmm.
We had to make do with our own amusement and own entertainment. Such as it was.
Now, did you know Mary Whitstone?
Very well. She lived, I guess, a mile and a half from us. And she had a farm, a big farm, and did a lot of the work herself. She finally bought a tractor. And that was almost as exciting as that first automobile.
Mm-hmm.
And especially after Mary's, my father asked her one day, well, she came down to the house to borrow a corn planter wire. You may not even know what that is, but the wire has knots in it about so far apart. And if it pulls through the planter, each time a knot passed through, it would trip corn into that hip. She came down to borrow the corn planter wire. And Dad said he heard she had a new tractor. Yes, he was anxious to get going. He said, who's going to drive it for me? She said, I'm going to run the damn thing myself, of course. And she did. She would just run her tractor, and people going up the road would stop and look at her, the dust a rolling and her driving her tractor.
Hmm.
She was quite a man. Then she later became a member of the House of Delegates and then the Senate.
Now, what's interesting, she was pretty much one of the first women to get into the House.
The very first.
She was.
She was the first woman in the House of Delegates and the first one in the Senate.
Hmm.
And she came out in, against prohibition. She was in favor of liquor. And that was quite a first, too. But she said that she didn't believe in it, that it would put her neighbors in the category of criminals because she knew that they were making cider and such. So she fought prohibition. She had a lot of friends. I hate to see her house going to pieces like it is, but nobody has the money to fix it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. I wonder how a woman could have gotten involved like that in politics and stuff, because did you remember when women got the right to vote?
Yes. Well, she was very active in PTAs, and she was on the Maryland State Board of Education.
Hmm.
And she became well known then, and she was so interested in education that was evidently her first interest that made her want to get into politics to help educational items.
Mm-hmm.
And she went from there to she was clerk of the court here for a while. I think you're appointed to that.
Mm.
And she just moves up from one thing to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And she studied law, and I don't think she was ever pursued it actively to make money,
mm-hmm.
but she did have a law degree.
Mm.
Not many.
Were her parents farmers?
Yes, the farm came down through the family to her.
Mm.
And her mother was living with her yet at the time she went into politics,
mm.
but she died
mm-hmm.
not too long afterwards.
Did she have any brothers or sisters?
I don't believe she did.
Mm.
But yes, she did too, because I was at the meeting for her photograph was hung in the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned a fact, I think she had twin brothers.
Hmm.
But they had both died early in life.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember just how.
Mm-hmm.
But there were twin brothers.
Hmm.
Yeah, I believe drowned or something. I forget what happened to the other one.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, what about the country store?
That was on Mary's farm too. Her uncle, Jim Amos, owned it. That little building is still standing. You know where her house is, do you?
No, not really.
You don't?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever go up the Jacksville Road to Jacksville?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where you pass the end of North Road? Just beyond Tipton?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you pass the North Road on the left, her house is that old brick house on the right. The next one past North Road.
Mm-hmm.
And right beside the house is the little brick building where he had his country store.
Mm.
And he had, of course, everything was in cotton, cans and bells, nothing was in packages.
Mm-hmm.
I know my father was up there one day and he had just, Mr. Amos had just brought his produce from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this big bag of tea, and he was emptying it into two tin cans that opened with a lid like a vent. And Dad thought he was making a mistake. He said, "Well, you're putting the same tea in both of those cans. One was marked 50 cents and one a dollar a can." He said, "Oh no," he said, "I have customers that won't pay more than 50 cents a can for tea. And I have others that can't drink that 50 cent stuff, so they pay a dollar." It was all the same tea, same hour, the same bag. But he had a little bit of everything in that little old tea. So then you weighed it out, crackers, you counted out, the size, you know, what you wanted.
Is that where your family did most of their shopping?
For a time, yes. And then other families opened up a bigger store. So we used to make butter,
mm-hmm.
take the butter and the eggs over there to think. And after Dad began shipping milk, we weren't making butter. We bought butter from Dad's friend up in the
Well, you said your father was shipping milk. How was he shipping milk?
He would haul it clear up to the Jacksville Road and ship it to Baltimore. And then we started buying butter from the neighbor. We didn't even have a refrigerator. And she put the bucket down in the well. It was a dug well.
Mm-hmm.
She'd hang a bucket down there and put the butter or cream or whatever down in the well to keep it cool.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, we got ice boxes. You put a chunk of ice in the top.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have an ice house that we could fill with our own ice. It was dug down probably 15 feet in the ground, they go out and cut the ice when it was anything over 4 inches, they would use, but sometimes it would get 6 or 8 inches. Pile it and throw it down in there and then cover it with straw. When you wanted ice for the ice box or for the to make ice cream or anything, you push the straw back and get out a hunk of it and wash it off and put it in the ice box. Well, I should keep the year round. You go off and have some left in it. I don't know just when the electric ones did come on board. I don't know, but it wasn't then. It's just been a few years. We had the washing the clothes and carry the water from the pump in the yard and heat it on top of the stove in the boiler, put it into the tub, wash the clothes on the board, squeeze them out, put them back in the boiler in more water to boil. That made them white. And then rinse them and hang them up. Mm-hmm. There's no bleaches, but boiling them, if you don't boil, that would whiten them. And then we rinse them very often twice. Grandmother Dan lived with us, and she helped with some of that. Washing was an old, I think it was Mary, my sister here, that told she didn't like wash day because everything centered around this laundry, you know, and she got a little neglected. And she told Mary one day, she didn't know why she didn't wash the clothes right once and what that did. She thought she was. Thought she wasn't half doing it, the reason she had to do it over so many times. And then to iron it, we heated the irons on the wood stove. It was more electric, if they used to have an electric iron. 10 years later, but we were back a piece off of the road. North Road was a rather rural road, and we had to furnish part of the poles to get us back in there. That was more than a mile off of the gas bill in. But we finally got electric in there. But in many years it wasn't.
Now what about cooking? Did you make some of the things that you cook and put up for
them? Oh, everything, yes. Grandmother Graham always made the bread. And she baked 6 or 7 big loaves at a time. And we always had, there wasn't such thing as baker's bread at the time. And they, at Christmas, we had cakes. We used to bake 6 big cakes at a time. And everybody visited others, you know, and we must bring out the cakes and the coffee. And those cakes, they were gone. They didn't have cars, but they did get around. We had more time to visit them than we do now. And I get rid of the cakes and the cookies and stuff like that. But we always did baked everything. Of course, the canning was done on the wood stove too. There was no freezer. You couldn't freeze anything. Even beef. We'd always have a quarter of beef, they call it, at a time. And I don't know if the weather was different or not, but they would hang that out in the meat house, and it would freeze. And we didn't do anything to it while it froze. That would thaw off a slice of steak or something. And in the spring, as soon as it began to thaw, then we canned it. No way to freeze anything. It was put in jars and processed in the hot bar. But kept all right. It got more work. Got more work.
Did you have to sew and make a lot of your own things if you were?
Everything, I guess. Well, maybe not the main suit, but Mother always sewed. In fact, she made all of our clothes. That's where I first learned to sew, was through her sewing so much of the time. And then after, I was made my own, I was tall and hard to find things for. But when my children were growing up, and I wasn't able to work out, I saved the neighbors, people around the area. And it came in handy. I've always still had to make my own.
Mm.
And that the neighbors too. But she always did. In fact, for a while I was at home, at home with the children, I did sewing from a factory in Baltimore. They would mail out by postal post these great big bundles of clothing, maybe as big as that table. And they were all cut, ready to put together like we have in the factories, with children's dresses. And we would put the eyes of the fire itself there, and they'd put this mask. I would sew the dress together. We had to put buttons on them. And for as little as, you won't believe it, 80 cents a dozen.
A dozen as in?
A dozen as in 12.
Oh my God.
But everything was cut. We'd lay the piles out on the table and you put a piece of this pile, a piece of this pile, and sew them together. And then at night, I'd sit down for the handlers, we'd sew the buttons on. And I'd put them back, bundle them up, and send them back, and I'd get maybe $10 for some bundles altogether. But $10 then went as far as 50 or 60 today.
Mm.
And, you know, cut.
Mm.
As when we were living near Ebenezer Church, my husband worked at Flanagan, one of the Hunt Club members. He worked 7 days a week for $2 a day and boarded himself. He made $14 a week. And he'd walk home for lunch and then come home in time for supper at night. We both purchased in summer place. He made $14 a week.
Mm.
And we had a garden. We had chickens, we had a cow, and I sewed some in the meantime, and put on some wallpaper for some of the neighbors. I had a hitch at most everything.
Mm.
And we made it, lived comfortably, bought a car during that time, and daughter was born during that time. So, I guess there was a world as well.
And you refer to the Hunt Club a lot. Do you know much about that? I don't know very much about that at all.
Well, it's over about, I guess it's maybe 6 miles down from Madonna. It's a fox hunting club.
Mm-hmm.
And all the big shops go there during the hunting season. So there was, at the time that I was teaching over there, Andrew Clark would come there, and Simonton, and Mitchell, and Bonsall, and Fenwick, and a lot of those society people. They would come down to the club just for the hunting season, sometimes only for a week at a time. And they kept the horses there, and they kept the hounds there.
Mm.
And the farmers around used to complain about the foxes killing their chickens. So then they began buying up the farms. And Bryce Wing bought one, Mrs. Voss bought one, and Goodwood has one. And practically all of that area right around there now is owned by those people from New York. They keep them pretty, but they could then hunt whenever they got ready.
Mm-hmm.
There was a movie that's been on TV a couple times. It was made back when we were living over there. It's called My Noun. And it was based on the area around Sound Club. That's where the pictures were taken.
Mm-hmm.
And one Saturday morning, they were filming the meeting of the hands in the Ebenezer Churchyard, which was like crossing one little meadow from our house. But you'd recognize, or I did, several points around the area in this movie. It was very well done. And Pete Reed's daughter, Pete himself, was standing for John Wayne. John Wayne would be showing in the close-ups and the interior scenes that were taken in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But where this fella fell off the horse and was killed, that was Pete Reed, and he lived there in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryce Wayne's daughter was the stand-in for the actress. I forget who the actress was in that now, but Walter Berman played in it. It was a very nice movie. Not like today's wild ones. You look like you have to scream before you let children see.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good movie. And it repeated from time to time on TV. It was called My Marrow. Based on the Foxman set.
Mm-hmm.
Let's still come over there now, just for hunting season. Let me go back home.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my red coat and white trousers.
Hmm. Did you ever have much excitement around Forest Hill and Garrettsville? Has it been very sedate community?
Very sedate, yes, I think so.
Hmm.
At that time there wasn't much. If there was, we were not close enough to hear anything about it. Yeah. We had telephones, but we had no radios and no TV.
Did you feel the effects of the depression very much?
Yes, in a way, but at that time, my daughter was born in 29, but we were going on this 8-acre place, and we had food enough. As far as that's concerned, we had a garden and the chickens and the cow, and we didn't suffer too much by it then.
Hmm.
But, and that's when my husband was getting that big $2 a day. So, we made it all right. And the school buses, because our kids walked to school the same as I did,
mm-hmm.
until later on the younger ones. And the oldest son was he helped to school horses for one of the hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bought us a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to school on a bicycle.
Do you remember much about the World War?
Oh, well. You mean the First World War? I was in high school at the time, and our communication system wasn't like it is now, that you hear everything that happened before it's hardly over. But it was sort of far removed. My father was farming, so he was not called. And it was way off then, much farther, well smaller today.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I was in school.
Did they have a big celebration when the war was over?
Not like they did from the Second War.
Mm-hmm.
That was really more exciting. We had two bases of that, D-Day and the Japanese. But during the Second War, all three of the sons were in it, and they were in five towns.
Mm.
The oldest son enlisted in the Air Force. He was trained as a navigator,
mm-hmm.
for 3 years. Just got his wings and came home for 30 days when the war ended. So he was released.
Mm-hmm.
Then when he had trouble in Korea, they had put 3 years of training on him, so they called him back.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Korea. And at that time, they had to do 50 missions, and then they were released. So he he did his picture making in about 6 months' time and came home safe and sound.
Mm-hmm.
The second son enlisted, and he was in the security service. He went to Germany, and they were on opposite sides at the same time. So he came home safe and sound. Then the youngest one waited for the death. He didn't enlist. So he was in Germany and served his time, came home in February. And in October, they had this scare, and they called up a lot of the reserve,
mm-hmm.
called him back. So he had the second hit, and he was at Fort Bragg. He didn't get out of the States the second time.
That's
him. And his first daughter was born down in Fort Bragg. They called her the little Cartier of the family. So we had five hits for the three of
them. Now, you've also gotten very involved in different organizations like the Grange and all.
Yes, it seems like you undertake one thing, and then quickly you know you've got two. I've been in the Grange about 30 years now, but first at Forest Hill, and then I was working at the hub. I worked there 9 years, and the Forest Hill was meeting on Friday night. I always had to work on Friday night. So I came straight to Georgia, and I've been there ever since.
Mm.
Then I told county, the four ranges combined into a county range,
mm-hmm.
and the counties are all combined into a state range. So I got involved in office speaking at all levels, and then in the AARP, Association of Retired Persons, and now I'm chairman of the Commission on Aging. So altogether it takes some time, aside from the homemakers and a few bus trips that we take in between times. So it keeps you I'd rather be busy than to have nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of dread that time. I think that I don't know if I'll ever get bored or not, because I like to crochet and sew and stuff. But I feel sorry for these people who sit and have nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of it.
Well, having the status of older people changed a lot from what you remember older people were doing before?
There was no nursing homes or anything. You just took care of them at home. That was understood.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was bedridden for quite a while before she died. And nobody ever thought of doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't as many of the wives working, for one thing. They were home, not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed a natural thing to do.
Mm-hmm. What about the status of retired people? Well, people didn't retire earlier years.
No, they didn't. There was, the women weren't working, aside from school teachers, unless you worked in a store or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the women on the farm, they just worked on the farm, and they worked all over the kids, and when they couldn't, there was a younger generation not coming along to cook them. There was no group meetings. I guess PTO was about the only meeting that they had. And they were not, there was no PTOs until Mary Ripko started organizing them. She instigated that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the only place, only meeting there was.
Mm-hmm.
And they just grew up and stayed at home until they died.
Mm-hmm. And then the county didn't have services for the elderly people.
No. I don't think we even had fire companies late back then. I can't recall fire companies. I know we didn't have any ambulance. I could never see the best fish. couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was something like building, if you had to build a barn or something, or if you had a crop that you had to get in,
mm-hmm.
the neighbors would put together and help with that.
Mm-hmm.
But as the county health or state health, they're just learning.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would have been too proud to accept any financial help anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see that they think that was an insult. The slave class came along a little later, and that got a little more interest for children, for younger people. But it's all rotated back to the farm because you had to have a project, you raised chickens, or you had a garden, or you had a forest to raise, or something like that. So that's not all the work. Any other work was just working.
Hmm.
And we're lucky enough to work at mill. I think the biggest employees maybe at the army installation farm, but you couldn't get to the ball, maybe you could get a job there because of the way to get there.
Mm-hmm.